Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. There's some smoke in the air today, and I just really hope and pray that it's a hazard reduction burn rather than something else. Today, we're going to return to John chapter 12, so let me just bring us up to speed. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Then Lazarus, Jesus, they gather around to have a meal together. Martha serving, then Mary. Mary shows up as she quietly enters the room, as she takes her case or her vase or whatever it is, box, a very expensive ointment, and pours it on the Lord's feet, and she wipes it off with her hair. All I can say is, wow, that is touching. But then Judas complains, and then Jesus sets him straight by saying, leave her alone. And now let's pick up the rest of the story. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story that we're looking at that's about to turn deadly for Jesus. Help us to learn today. Help us to get some things that we can take home with us. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Then a large crowd of the Jews learned that he was there at the dinner. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. It's not very often that someone raises someone from the dead. So everyone was coming to see them. But then the organized religious bunch get angry. And they want to kill not only Jesus, but they want to kill Lazarus that had just come back to life. All I can say is, how low can you get? Why did they do that? Well, when the real deal comes along, then the phony ones get angry. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, then the faithful followers turned and began following the real thing, which was Jesus. It's been that way down through history. When God begins to move in a magnificent way, and people are attracted to it, then those who are threatened retaliate. But more about that later. Verses 12 through 13. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, and they kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. There's a big debate on what the word Hosanna stands for here. Well, what do you think? I've got my opinion, but let's take a closer look. In the Hebrew, the word Hosanna means help, come and save us. In the New Testament, it's clearly a shout of praise and honor. Well, let's let Mark give us a different view. Mark chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Many spread their clothes on the road, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed, Hosanna. It's all clearly a shout of praise. In the minds of those who were shouting, Messiah is finally here. Here's a good question for us. In the scene we just looked at, there was exuberant praise. What does the Lord see when he sees our praise and worship? It's a good question we need to ask ourselves. Well, let's continue. verses 14 through 16, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey." And his disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. What we're looking at was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before this day. The disciples should have known this was going to happen, but they did not. When we look at those disciples, it just shows that there's still hope for us. Now let's all look closely at the following verses. We just might see a huge key to winning people to Jesus. Verses 17 and 18. Meanwhile, the crowd which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. This is also why the crowd met him, because they heard what he had done, that he had done this sign. Let's read that same thing in the New Living Translation. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. Do you get it? That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about the miraculous sign. Those who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead went out and spread the news. They were excited about it. Come and see what's just happened. Others were running to get there to see him. Kind of like the woman at the well that met Jesus, and she runs back and says, "Come see a man who told me everything that I did." Well, how excited about Jesus are we? Ask yourself that question. You see, the reason the Jesus revolution that has just come through, the movie has just come through, the reason they were so explosive is because people would come to Jesus, their lives would be changed, and they would go out and tell the community, others, what had happened to them. They told everyone with a simple gospel of salvation, and others came running and they got saved. That's the way it is in revivals. People meet Jesus, their lives are changed, and they go out and tell others, and others come to Jesus. You and I need to get that. We need to start telling others about Jesus. Now look how organized religion responded to what just happened. Verse 19, "Then the Pharisees said one to another, 'You see, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" That's a bit of a hopeless statement. But you see, that's what happens when the real thing shows up and exposes the hypocrites, or may I translate, the phonies. Now let's look at verses 20. "Now some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, 'Sir, we want to see Jesus.'" Well, there's a message there in itself. "Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus." Jesus responds, and here's another place that we need to take a really close look. Verses 23 and 24. "Jesus replied to them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit.'" Every gardener understands the analogy that Jesus just used. We know that when a seed is planted in the ground, it rots, it dies, but in a miraculous way that science still can't understand, new life comes from death. Folks, that is a picture of our dying to ourselves and being raised to new life to follow Jesus, completely follow Jesus. That is the new birth. Then Jesus drives his point home. Verses 25 through 26, the one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Before I explain this, I don't believe Jesus said that we're supposed to hate ourselves. But he did say that our love for him should be so much higher than our love for ourselves. Just wanted to clear that up. You see, Jesus lived his life completely to redeem fallen man, and it cost him dearly. Now listen closely. Jesus tells us that if we're going to follow him, it's probably going to cost us dearly as well. Does that mean to die for him? Well, to die for Jesus is a noble thing. And thousands of people have been martyred for the name of Jesus. But I think the Apostle Paul gives us another look, another perspective of this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act of worship. You see, our sacrifice for Jesus is to surrender our lives to live for him completely. We are to die to ourselves and come alive and then live for him and share our Jesus story with other people. That's what Jesus was on about. That's what he wants us to be on about. And if we will surrender our lives, share our Jesus story, then God will multiply that exponentially. That's called revival. So here's a deep question. Do we have a Jesus story? Do we have a story of how Jesus changed our lives? It's that right there that can change others' lives. Now let's go to verse number 27 through 32. Jesus is speaking, "Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus responded, "The voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Jesus said, "Father, glorify your name." God the Father responds, "I have, and I will do it again." The way I see that, God is saying, "What you've seen before is amazing, but what I'm about to do will blow your mind." And we know he did that. Then Jesus gives us a look at what's coming in the next few days. "If I am lifted from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." That's Calvary. That's the old rugged cross. But look closely at what he said. "If I be lifted up," do you and I lift people, lift Jesus to people with our words and actions? Do we? Our job is to lift up Jesus to everyone with our words and actions. Then Jesus will draw everyone else to himself. That way he gets the glory, not us. You see how it works? Are you doing your job? Am I doing mine? I believe this amazing story that we've just looked at is so relevant to today. So how are we going to respond to this? Are we going to do our job? Will we lay down our lives for Him and let Him raise us back up to share our story exclusively for Him? Not about anything else, exclusively for Him. Only then will that exponential life, that exponential blessing from God will take place. But only when we're totally surrendered to Jesus and let Him raise us up and use us to reach the world around us. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this chance to record it. Lord, use this. Challenge us deeply for Your glory so we can see people coming to You. In Jesus' name, amen.